Okay, this is great. I am talking with school board member Natalie Beyer of the Durham Public Schools, and she's been happy to talk about some of the things that has happened during her first term and talk about some of the issues that she finds dear to her. If I can get you to go ahead and introduce yourself and talk about your first time, and we'll go ahead with a couple of questions.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see you, Shay. I'm Natalie Beyer, and I am a mother of three children in Durham Public Schools.
Okay.
Actually, my oldest has left and gone to North Carolina School of Science and Math, so I guess I've got two in public schools now. And it's been a real learning process to serve on the Board of Education. I love Durham, and this has been a great opportunity to get out and meet people and serve the community.
I bet. Have you... So let me ask you, how's your family adjusted to having you in public office now?
They have really been great support. They are my first fans, and they are very understanding of the strange schedule that comes with lots of meetings and public events.
That's good.
I drag them along to lots of school performances, and they have been really supportive. I couldn't do it without them.
Yep. Hey, trust me, I believe that. So let's talk about... one of the questions I had, a parent asked me, and I didn't know the answer. And it's the difference between charter schools and public schools.
Yeah.
Lately, it's been, I guess, a rash of charter schools starting up, and applications probably everywhere with the start of these schools. I mean, does this pose a threat to the public school system at all? What's your vision on that?
So I think that it's important to learn where charter schools came from in North Carolina. About 20 years ago, there was a push for vouchers to come, for school vouchers to come to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And as a compromise to give parents more choice, the General Assembly passed a bill that let 100 charter schools open in the state of North Carolina.
Right.
So there was a cap in place. And these are publicly funded schools, but they are privately managed.
They
appoint their own boards, and there's no one that voters elect that oversees these charter schools. They're overseen by the State Board of Education, but those are all political appointees.
Wow.
So when the General Assembly lifted the cap 2 years ago on charter schools, a lot of school folks got a little concerned.
Okay.
And we have seen the number of applications just balloon and skyrocket across the state. So there are now 70 more charter schools that have put in applications to be considered. There should be 133 operational this year. And if the 10th one in Durham is able to open, we will have 10 charter schools operating in Durham next year. We also have students that attend charter schools across the Triangle area, so Durham is actually paying for students to attend 23 different schools that are very loosely regulated.
Right.
There's only 4 employees in the Office of Charter Schools overseeing these 130 schools across the state.
Wow.
Yeah.
So parents, I think, are thinking these schools are better schools, you know, I think because they're newer, maybe because they may have had some trouble, the children may have had trouble in the schools where they are now.
Yeah.
Is it a safe choice?
It's always surprising to me that parents will seek out alternative choices.
Right.
And based on what's presented in a brochure, the best national research shows that actually traditional public schools outperform charter schools.
Right.
And there is potential as a policy to do harm in charter schools and rapid expansion of charter schools. In most states, charter schools operate more like magnet schools, and that they are overseen by the local Board of Education. So there is someone locally elected that makes sure the schools are open to all and fair to all, provide transportation, provide meals, things that are important to make sure there are not barriers to student admission. One of the concerns in Durham and across the state of North Carolina is racial isolation. So the schools typically tend to be all minority schools, or all predominantly white and Asian schools.
Wow.
And that's a concern, because we really believe in Durham that an integrated school environment is the ideal environment for students.
Right. So it sounds like these schools, the people who push to open these schools have an agenda.
I think occasionally they could have an agenda.
Okay.
And I think it also reflects some of the preferences that folks have when they're shopping for a school.
Right.
But it's an area of concern when you look at good policy for children. It's our goal in Durham, as much as possible, to have our schools be integrated and reflect the diversity of our community. And they need to reflect the socioeconomic diversity of our community.
Mm-hmm.
Our students in Durham Public Schools are over 62% qualify for free and reduced lunch.
Mm.
And the charter schools in Durham do not reflect that in their demographic makeup.
Wow.
So there are some charter schools in Durham that do not provide any transportation. Some of them have one day where they release the students, one day a week where they release the students just after lunchtime, so
mm-hmm.
parents have to come and pick them up at that time.
Mm-hmm.
There are just some barriers that we want to make sure that if taxpayers are supporting these schools, that everybody in the community is welcome in the schools.
Right. And it sounds like everybody should know what these schools are about. And how these schools are overseen, because you know what you say, four people, you know, in the office who's looking at this. I mean, that's a lot of schools for four people. You know.
So of concern is the taxpayer funds that the schools receive.
Yeah.
And the boards that are appointed should be following open meetings law and
mm-hmm.
posting their minutes online
and
making public information available if it's requested.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's of concern. The Latino population is vastly underrepresented in the charter schools in Durham.
Mm-hmm.
The Latino students comprise about 21% of the students in Durham Public Schools and are only significantly represented in one of the nine existing charter schools in Durham. So, yeah.
So are you, what about some of the other issues going on in your first term? anything that stands out you want to talk about or bring to our attention?
So, one of the things we've been working on locally is to write a vision statement in collaboration with the charter schools in Durham. We've written a vision for public education that would include a limited number of high-quality charter schools that would be accessible and open to all. So we're trying to take what we feel is kind of a weak state law and make it more friendly to the Durham community.
Right.
So that's an ongoing effort. These schools should be laboratories of innovation that bring ideas and best practices back to the public schools. So the Board of Education has been working with charter school leaders to try to craft that vision and try to build a bridge within that community so that we can share ideas back and forth between the charter school community.
So have you seen any information come back yet, as of yet? I mean, it seems like charter schools are a few of them I could think of that's been around for a while. Are they reporting back anything or giving us any new information?
So I would just say that the groups have not been together much in the past, and so the conversations have been challenging, but we are optimistic going forward that everyone in Durham will rise to do the right thing for children. I mean, Durham has a great heart for our children, that's true of most of the charter school operators in Durham as well.
Right, exactly. I can see that.
So also of interest, I'm sure, is the superintendent's strategic plan that has been a roadmap to new initiatives within the community.
Mm-hmm.
I think his parent academy there's a survey online to say what we would like to offer in terms of a parent academy for our community, and folks can check that out and give input on that.
Okay.
So it'll be a way to have courses and workshops for families that could really help parents be more educated partners as into their children's learning.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds good. But have you, what about in the technology field? I mean, I know, and I know you've thought about this from time to time, and you get to see students with their iPhones and all this, the Androids and all this thing. What is not what is the policy on that, because I understand that, you know, all schools are saying no and they shouldn't be using these things during instruction time. But how do you see that playing into today's educational institutions as far as DPS is concerned?
So technology has just rapidly changed our world, and you know, it's brought us light years forward,
mm-hmm.
but we've not had the funding in place to actually get the technology to our students that's needed. We actually, over a year ago, repurposed high school bond money for a project that wasn't needed due to capacity issues to have $9 million allocated to really significantly upgrade the technology in our schools. What we also know that we have to do is continue to put that in as a strong line item to refurbish technology forward.
Exactly.
And who knows how many, what type of devices we'll all be using 2 years from now.
Smart boards in every classroom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's something that I think the state actually has an obligation to help districts with, because it's a tool.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a calculator was when we were in school, technology is a tool for these kids.
Right.
What I'm concerned about is that we don't want it to be a replacement for teachers and investing in strong, qualified, experienced teachers. It is one tool that students have. And in light of that, the district is working on a Bring Your Device to School policy, knowing that most of our students, especially middle schoolers and high schoolers, have a smartphone or an iTouch. We're working on a policy that should go into effect this fall, where they could bring their device from home and, with the teacher's permission, use that in their classroom.
How do you? So I guess that'll be tricky though, especially with students coming with iPhones and the capability of these things. I mean, they're not going to, you know, all students are not going to be studying all the time on their phone.
Right.
You know.
Right.
What do you do about that? I mean, seems like that'll be an issue in the school system.
Well, it definitely does put extra responsibility on our teachers. And, you know, most schools have policies that electronic devices are to be turned off during the day.
Yeah.
During the instructional day, they can turn them back on at the end of the day. But with this new policy, and we hope to get plenty of training for our teachers, when they have authorized the use for a specific purpose class, those devices can come out. You know, another concern we can always have in the Durham community is the digital divide. So, you know, knowing that some of our students will have the latest and greatest technology and some will not. We've got a pilot program going this year where the students that do have one-to-one technology, I think City of Medicine Academy, the students are being allowed to check out the technology and take it home with them in the evenings. But again, that's assuming that students have Wi-Fi. And
That's true.
Even be true. So we're looking, you know, in future conversations with the county and city leadership to see where we can have, you know, universal Wi-Fi within the community that's supported more like a public utility.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I was a friend of mine and I were talking, and I guess, you know, he was bringing up the fact that a lot of students are using their phones, like, during classrooms or sometime. This is in another school district. And I think it's interesting because I think, like you said earlier, it is a challenging portion for teachers, because it's kind of like, you know, there is a use for, you know, for computers. And a lot of, that's all these phones are now. They're the days of computers.
Computer in your pocket.
You know, so how much, you know, by saying, you know, you can't use this, but we want them to grow, technologically.
Right. The students are always three steps ahead of the adults. I mean, and they always will be, know. It's also put a significant strain on our Wi-Fi within the schools, so we've really had to upgrade that capacity as well.
Didn't even look at that part about it. You know, I'm thinking it's just as far as discipline, keeping their phones off, but as far as using Wi-Fi, slowing down the system.
Right.
Never even thought about that.
The teachers will definitely report that slowdown. We've also put smart boards in every classroom, and I don't know if you've seen those.
Yeah,
those
are, we got them.
They're a fantastic tool.
Yeah, we got them in school. Yeah.
But again, I think training for teachers, and especially some of the teachers that haven't had the experience of working with that equipment before, is such a smart investment. Yeah. You can't expect folks to automatically know how to use this equipment.
Yeah, that's true. So what about going forward? Next term, what are you looking forward to? What can you share with us?
I am honored to serve this term, and if the voters of Durham choose, I think I want to make sure we continue to be innovative in Durham Public Schools, and we continue to have all the central office folks be supportive of our schools. I'd like to turn the model of the district upside down. I want the central office folks just saying to our principals, what do you need? What would help you do your job better?
I want
the resource decisions to be made as much as possible at the individual school level, because I think our principals and our teachers know how best to meet the needs of the students that are in their buildings.
Let me boast about one thing. It's boast about your accessibility. And I think this is one thing that that parents would like to know about you, is how accessible you are, how easily it is to contact you, and how willing you are to speak with parents and to talk, you know, to anybody about some of the concerns they may have, answer some questions, just like, you know, the charter school and that kind of thing. And I definitely appreciate that. Because I think one of the things, especially with elected officials, is, you know, getting to them. A lot of times we feel like once we put them in office, we don't see them anymore and that kind of thing. So I do want to thank you for speaking with me. And this is great. I learned a lot. And I hope we can, talk to you again about other things in the near future.
Definitely, Shay. No, I really appreciate it. And I appreciate your heart for this community.
Thanks.
I look forward to hearing, you know, any concerns or ideas or suggestions that both parents, community members, and teachers have for improving things at Durham Public Schools.
We're all here
for our children.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Natalie Byer, a friend of Durham.